If you're in kind of a smaller population, you're going to, you know, you're just going to see it spread very quickly.
Explaining the town bug, and the Haines Assembly rehears the heliport decision this week. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. At least 3 years in prison for a pregnant Haines woman originally arrested on drug charges in Juneau. 24-year-old Adeline Gail Strong was sentenced to 6 years in prison with 3 years suspended. With possible credit for good time and substance abuse treatment, she could be out earlier. The sentence included 3 years probation and $680 restitution. Strong spent all of 2011 at two rehabilitation treatment centers. A sentencing hearing on February 14th included her defense attorney, Jim Curtin, asking for a delay because Strong was about to give birth. She didn't want to deliver after she had already reported to prison. Prosecutors say that was the first time that they had heard about any pregnancy, but they conceded that she may be a good candidate for electronic monitoring, like a leg bracelet, because she's already completed a substance abuse program. Superior Court Judge Philip Pallenberg was reluctant to delay proceedings any further and was determined to move ahead with sentencing. Along with several other people, Strong was arrested in Juneau in May of 2010 after an investigation into the sale and purchase of oxycodone in Juneau. She reportedly was caught selling less than two pills on two separate occasions. Strong was charged with two counts of misconduct involving a controlled substance. As part of a plea agreement in October of 2010, she pled guilty to one charge while the other was dismissed. According to a partial transcription of the hearing by the in-court clerk, Strong told the court, quote, "Thank you for giving me a chance to go to treatment. After I got there, it really made me change the way I look at myself and present myself." End quote. Strong was ordered to report to Lemon Creek Correctional Center by the evening of February 15th. Her baby is due any day now. The Alaska Board of Fisheries addresses southeast finfish issues this week. Members will consider 145 proposals from advisory boards, gear groups, and individuals. They range from Sitka's Sacro herring harvest to Juneau's Taku River King sport fishery to changes in seine boat size limits. The meeting lasts 10 days and has local commercial fishing groups and fish and game employees present. Fish and Game Board's Director Monica Wellard says much of the first few days are taken up by public testimony.
They'll be allowed that particular time frame to talk about the proposals they're for or against. And then there's also the written comments that they can provide, you know, put it all in writing and submit that during the meeting so their comments can be heard.
Other proposals involve sport fishing for freshwater kings, rules for reporting catches, and listing Haines Lutac Inlet as a subsistence management area. The Board of Fisheries is meeting at Ketchikan's Ted Ferry Civic Center. Audio will be streamed via the board's website. The link is on our website, or go to adfg.alaska.gov and search for Board of Fisheries to find the link. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday night. They'll take up the Planning Commission's decision to deny a conditional use permit to Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures to operate a heliport in the upper Chilkat Valley. Following the tie vote near the end of January, SEBA submitted an appeal, as allowed in borough code, to have the Assembly rehear the matter this week. The Assembly will review the record, including all related documentation or oral statements previously provided to the Planning Commission. Although further argument may be allowed, the burden of proof is on SEBA, the party challenging the Commission's decision. Public testimony will be part of this rehearing, scheduled as the first major item of business at the next regular meeting. That's 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, February 28th at Haines Assembly Chambers in the Public Safety Building. Did you get that bug that was going around? You know, the town cold or the other norovirus thing that hit town? Or are you still popping vitamin C's to avoid it? I got the cold and called Mom to get some advice for myself, But I also put in a call to Kimberly Porter to get some advice for us. Kim's an officer with the Epidemic Intelligence Service. More simply, she's a PhD and knows a lot about how diseases spread. And since she's worked on Alaska outbreaks for the last year and a half, she knows about how sickness spreads in isolated groups like schools or small towns.
What is happening there from your expert view?
Well, I think you really hit the nail on the head by comparing places that may have a smaller population with a school, because it works in the exact same way. And in a larger city, you'd even have the same situation, because viruses that cause cold, the flu, noroviruses you've just mentioned, they are so contagious. And especially when we're talking about those respiratory viruses like a cold, you know, they are spread through droplets in the air when someone who is sick coughs or sneezes or talks. But they can also be spread by hand-to-hand contact. So that would be, you know, if you shake hands with someone who has a cold. Or even they can be spread through fomites, which is when you're talking about just an object that becomes contaminated, like, for example, a handrail, a shopping cart, you know, something that lots of folks touch. These viruses can spread very, very quickly. And as if you pointed out, if you're in kind of a smaller population, you're going to, you know, you're just going to see it spread very quickly.
Where do they start anyway? Where does the virus start? Does it just keep going around the world, or is it have to come from someplace else, or new ones born?
You know, there are so many viruses and the situations are so unique, I would be reluctant to make any kind of generalization about that.
A mystery.
One great success in the public health world was, of course, the eradication of smallpox. But that's, you know, that's not going to be a possibility for so many of the different viruses, because anytime you have an animal reservoir, you're likely not going to be able to wipe it out. And some of these viruses are just so common that it seems very unlikely that they would ever be eradicated and that they would just continue to circulate.
And it always feels kind of incestuous, too, in a town when you meet somebody and you realize at the post office that they have the same thing that you just had. Is it like one that's multiplied and they actually do have the same thing?
Well, viruses themselves are not, they are not living organisms in the strict sense of that word. So they're not like a bacteria that kind of lives on its own. A virus has to be within a cell. And you're exactly right. You could have the same bug. You could have the same virus as your neighbor that you see at the post office, because, again, they're so infectious. They end up on that shopping cart handle. You get it from your neighbor, and so you then have the same virus.
Is it avoidable?
Well, it is certainly, you could certainly reduce your chances of it. The bare bones, common sense things that you would think about. Cover your nose and mouth when you cough or sneeze, and if you don't happen to have a tissue with you, you can cough or sneeze into kind of your upper sleeve or your elbow. Have you seen folks do that?
The vampire.
Exactly. And folks, you know, the best thing that you can do is wash your hands. You want to wash your hands with warm water for 20 seconds. If you don't have a sink available, use some of that alcohol-based hand rub. And if you're out and about, because clearly you can't control whether, you know, the folks off the ship or your neighbors are washing their hands, again, you just want to avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth, and wash your hands as often as possible. If you're not feeling well, stay home. If you're out and about and you see someone who's obviously sick, try to avoid close contact with that person. And when you're talking about the flu virus, also, of course, the first and most important step in protecting against that is the yearly flu vaccine.
And how about anything else preventable on a smaller scale? Do things like vitamin C help empower the immune system to fight any of this stuff off preventively?
You know, I really cannot speak to that. We would mm-hmm. just always emphasize the flu vaccine, and like I said, for colds, noro, some of the other more common bugs, washing your hands cannot be beat.
Well, I guess we'll just keep listening to our mom and the Department of Health and Social Services and CDC. Put them all together.
Excellent. Just as you said, it's the bare bones, common sense things that are going to keep you safest. And, you know, when you've been exposed to a certain virus, some of those viruses will trigger that acquired immunity. But if you have a couple cold viruses circulating at the same time, well, that's not really going to, you know, that's not really going to help you that much, because you could just get, you know, bug number two and start the whole process again.
Thank you so much. Oh,
Oh, you're most welcome. Thanks so much for the call, and very nice to speak with you.
Yeah, you too.
We talked about viruses, but there can be bacterial infections that can cause respiratory symptoms too. One of them is whooping cough, a very contagious sickness that people can be vaccinated against. Last week, local healthcare facilities received a lot of complaints for norovirus-like sicknesses from groups including senior citizens. Public health says they don't have any official diagnosis yet, so they can't confirm what exactly is going around. But the search clinic is collecting stool samples from people so they can diagnose the problem. They need specimens from 3 to 5 people, preferably all from one family. If that's you, you can call Becky at 766-6300. Kimberly Porter says her department also likes to know when people are sick in Alaska, but that department just wants a phone call. Anyone who can report sicknesses for state tracking can call 269-8000. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS. Special thanks to Matt Miller in Juneau for his help with this report. KHNS Local News, news about Skagway and the Chilkat Valley, produced right here at home, comes on 3 times a weekday. But you can get your hometown news anytime on your computer if you go to khns.org. There, you can find any local newscast you want to hear again.